All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Okay, folks, strap in, because today we are launching a deep dive into, space.
To infinity and beyond, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. More specifically, though, you guys sent in some pretty incredible articles about the new space race that's going on.
It's heating up, that's for sure.
It really is. And this time, it's not nations battling it out. It's private companies aiming to make Mars their new home.
Yeah, it's a whole new ballgame compared to the Cold War space race, isn't it? We're talking commercial ventures, groundbreaking tech.
And even, you know, that big question of whether humanity can become a multi-planet species.
Exactly. It's a heady mix of ambition and existential worries.
Right. I mean, just look at the names involved. SpaceX, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic.
It's like the who's who of tech billionaires with their eyes on the stars. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Richard Branson, they are all in.
And they're not just launching satellites anymore. We're seeing reusable rockets, plans for space tourism.
Asteroid mining, even space-based internet.
It's mind-blowing how quickly things are moving. But what's pushing this sudden surge in private space ventures? I mean, was it just a matter of the tech finally catching up, or is there more to it?
Well, the tech is definitely a huge part of it. Like you said, reusable rockets have drastically lowered the cost of space travel.
It's crazy to think that landing a rocket upright on a drone ship is now routine.
Right. It was practically unthinkable just a few years ago.
Hmm.
But beyond the tech, I think there's a real sense of, well, opportunity.
Opportunity, like in a business sense.
Exactly. Space is the new frontier for entrepreneurs. We're not just talking about government-funded missions anymore.
We're talking about commercial ventures with the potential to, well, make a lot of money.
Right. Like you mentioned, space tourism is already taking off. Virgin Galactic is offering suborbital flights.
Yeah, I saw that article too. It costs a pretty penny right now, but it's coming more accessible.
And then there's the whole asteroid mining concept, which is still in its early stages, but it's generating a lot of buzz.
Mm. I mean, one of the articles you sent me claimed that a single platinum-rich asteroid could be worth more than the entire GDP of Earth.
Yeah, the numbers are astronomical, no pun intended. And then you've got companies like SpaceX with their Starlink project.
Right. They're aiming to provide global internet coverage using a network of satellites.
Exactly. So the economic potential of space is just massive. But for some of these founders, like Elon Musk, it's not just about profit.
He's really pushing this idea of colonizing Mars as a kind of insurance policy for humanity.
Yeah, he's been pretty vocal about that. And honestly, with the threats we face on Earth, climate change, resource depletion, you name it.
It's not totally outlandish to think about establishing a self-sustaining colony on Mars as a backup plan.
Right. But of course, turning that vision into reality is a monumental undertaking.
Definitely. So what are we up against here? What are the biggest challenges we'd face trying to colonize Mars?
Well, the Martian environment is pretty unforgiving, to say the least.
Yeah, I read that article about those massive dust storms on Mars. I mean, they can engulf the entire planet.
Oh, yeah, and they can last for months. It's not like a little dust devil you see in the desert.
Yeah.
We're talking planet-scale storms.
That would make going outside a bit tricky.
To put it mildly. And then there are the extreme temperatures. We're talking way below freezing at night.
Oh, I bet. Plus, there's the whole issue of the thin atmosphere on Mars.
Right, which we can't breathe. And the radiation exposure is another major concern. There's no magnetic field like Earth's to protect you.
So even if we figured out how to survive the dust storms and the extreme temperatures, we'd still need to find a way to, like, breathe.
Yeah, we'd need pressurized habitats, specialized suits, the whole nine yards. And let's not forget about the lack of readily available liquid water.
Oh, right, of course. No water, no life as we know it. It's amazing how easy it is to take those things for granted here on Earth.
Absolutely. And speaking of taking things for granted, the journey to Mars itself is another huge obstacle.
Yeah, it's a long way to go. How long does it take anyway?
With our current technology, a one-way trip takes about 7 months.
Wow, 7 months. I don't really like long-haul flights, let alone 7 months crammed in a spaceship.
Yeah, it would definitely test your patience. And then there's the fuel required for such a long journey.
Not to mention the risks involved.
Exactly. I mean, you're talking about potential equipment failures, the constant exposure to radiation, the psychological toll of being so far from home.
It really makes you appreciate how delicate and complex these missions are.
Absolutely. But let's say, for the sake of argument, that we do manage to overcome all these hurdles and get to Mars. The next question is, how do we actually build a livable colony?
Yeah, how do you create a little Earth on a barren planet?
It's a question that has scientists and engineers scratching their heads. We'd need to develop closed-loop life support systems.
Closed-loop meaning?
Meaning self-contained ecosystems within the colony that can recycle air, water, and even waste. It's essentially mimicking what Earth does naturally.
That's incredible. But what about food? Can you even grow anything in Martian soil?
That's another challenge. We'd likely need to develop hydroponic or aeroponic farming techniques, or find a way to modify the Martian soil to make it suitable for Earth plants.
It sounds incredibly complex.
It is. And then there's the whole issue of energy generation. We can't exactly rely on solar power all the time on Mars, especially during those dust storms we talked about.
Right. So we'd need backup systems, like nuclear power, perhaps.
Exactly. And then there's the whole medical aspect. We'd need to be prepared to deal with any medical emergency that could arise, and we'd be millions of miles away from the nearest hospital.
It's mind-boggling how many things we'd need to figure out.
It is, but it's also incredibly exciting. I mean, we're talking about pushing the boundaries of human ingenuity on a scale we've never seen before.
It really is. But with all this talk of colonizing Mars, I have to ask, are there any ethical considerations we need to be thinking about?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, one of the biggest concerns is planetary protection, making sure that we don't accidentally contaminate Mars with Earth-based life. Oh, right. I hadn't thought about that. But it makes sense. We wouldn't want to introduce Earth microbes and potentially wipe out any native life forms on Mars.
Exactly. Or even skew the results of scientific research by introducing foreign organisms.
It's like that old saying, take only pictures, leave only footprints, but on a planetary scale.
Huh, exactly. But the ethical considerations go beyond just contamination.
What else should we be thinking about?
Well, there's the whole question of resource allocation. We're talking about spending billions, if not trillions of dollars on these Mars endeavors.
And some people argue that money could be better spent addressing problems here on Earth, like poverty or climate change.
It's a valid argument, for sure. It's a delicate balancing act. I mean, how do we justify spending so much on space exploration when we have so many pressing issues here at home?
It's a tough question. And while we're on the topic of tough questions, what about the whole issue of governing Mars? I mean, who gets to decide how it's run? Yeah, that's a big one. We're stepping into uncharted territory here. It raises all sorts of questions about international law, property rights,
and even what it means to have sovereignty over another planet.
Exactly. There's no easy answer. It'll require a lot of international cooperation and some serious legal groundwork.
It's fascinating to think about all the implications. So let's wrap this up with the big question. Is colonizing Mars a realistic goal, or is it just a pipe dream?
You know, I honestly think it's too early to say for sure. The technological and logistical challenges are immense.
But so is the potential reward.
Exactly. We're talking about the possibility of expanding humanity's reach beyond Earth, about ensuring our long-term survival.
And about pushing the boundaries of human knowledge and innovation.
This is just the beginning of a much larger conversation about our future among the stars. And what we learn from these initial efforts to reach Mars.
It's really going to shape our destiny for generations to come.
Absolutely. Buckle up, because this is going to be one wild ride.
That's a great place to leave it. Thanks for diving deep with us today. And to all our listeners out there, keep those questions coming.
Until next time.
See you then.